The more time you spend with Sam Walker, the more you'll know. He's on right now with OBX Today on the all-new News Talk 92.3.
Now here's Les Nessman and the news.
All right, it's 8:29 here on News Talk 92.3 WZPR. Good Thursday morning, everybody. OBX Today, and we go now to the WZPR breaking news hotline. And being a my wife is a cradle Episcopalian. She converted me 29 years ago. This is a distinct honor to have the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church on, Michael Curry, who is a fellow North Carolinian. Good morning, Bishop Curry. It's a pleasure to have you here on OBX Today. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You have a book out that's really, I think if there's one title that probably every single human being on this planet needs right now in their life is Love is the Way. That's the title. Holding on to hope in troubling times. If there's this book, and I'm so looking forward to getting to dive deep into it. Just tell us more about what this is all about.
Well, it's really an attempt to explain from stories from my own life of the real power of love, not just sentimental love, but the kind of love that actually is unselfish and sometimes even sacrificial, that actually seeks the good of others as well as yourself. That's the kind of love that Jesus of Nazareth talked about in the New Testament, that Moses talked about in the Hebrew Scriptures, that kind of selfless love. And I talk about it in the book from the perspective of people who I've seen and known who actually lived that way. And by living that way of love, they actually became more and more profound and greater than they ever could have imagined even at the time. And I've seen people like that in my life, from my own grandmother to a woman who turned around when my mother was sick and eventually died and helped my sister along the way and is still a family friend. Her name is Josie Robbins in Buffalo, New York. And she did that unselfishly and still is in our lives to this very day. But it wasn't just us. She was a public school teacher, a biology teacher, who became a principal of a school back in the 1960s that made it possible for girls who got pregnant in high school. In those days, they'd have to leave school and be out of school for a while. But it made it possible for them to stay in school, to get their studies, to get prenatal care, postnatal care, and actually to safely deliver their baby and to carry on their life and take their place as a productive citizen in this country. She did that and was an advocate for the rights of girls and the rights of women and just human decency. That's love, too. Love isn't just between you and me. Love is what we do as a society, and it is the way to build a world where there's space and room for us all.
I'm going to throw a personal anecdote at you. And talking to my wife about our interview last night at dinner, and she brought up something that you just said about she brought this up. How can somebody in this day and age, with everything that's going on and all this divisiveness and all the different things going on, so how do you love someone that you don't think is morally, that it's not something of political nature, it's not something about philosophical, that it's a moral issue now? How do you do that? How do you overcome that?
I it's not easy. It's not easy. One, you start from the place that, remember, to love is to seek the good. It's not about being nice. It's about seeking what is the good and what is the greatest good that you can get in a particular situation. And part of it has to do with you, or it has to do with me. Booker T. Washington once said, "Never let any man drag you so low as to hate him." The reality is, not to love does more harm to me than it does to the person that I'm directing it at. And so part of one of the solutions is, and I'm not saying this just because I'm a preacher, but I'm telling you, a living relationship with the God who the Bible says is love really does help. So whatever your religious tradition, get deep into that, because that does help. But the other thing that I've learned over the years that does make a difference is being in a community that becomes a community of love and support and accountability that can sometimes help you navigate when you can't do it all on your own. Because sometimes it is tough. But having that community around you, if you have one, get in it. If stay in it. If you don't have one, find one. And if you don't see one, create one. But some small group of people that become a community of love. I could, if I die, I'll tell you a quick story. My wife has a book club she's been going to for years, and it's with her sisters and cousins and family, and they get together every month. And at one point, I asked, I said, "Well, what book are y'all reading?" And she didn't. She said, "Well, she's reading this one, and somebody else is reading that one." I said, "Do you all read one book?" And she said, "Well, yeah, sort of." And then she hemmed and hawed. And I said, "What do you do at book club?" Turn out they eat, they talk. What that is, it's a community of love and support. That's what it really is.
Yeah, it sounds like my wife does the same thing. I'm just sitting here laughing because it's the same thing. They do try to read the same book, but it's about getting together and socializing more than anything else.
Yeah, but what that is that's how people have supported themselves through the ages, so that a relationship with God, a relationship in community, and then a commitment. It does come down to and I think it's a daily commitment to say, I'm going to live this day as loving as I can. God, I need you to help me along the way. But remember that love is about seeking and doing the greatest good that you can. As John Wesley said, do all the good you can in every way you can. It's not about being nice. It's not about being a doormat. It's not about, you know, letting wrong be wrong. It's about trying to find the good, the greatest good that you can. And in the long run, that's what gets you through.
In this book, you share your life story and how it shaped you, molded you, not just to be a priest in the Episcopal Church and eventually the presiding bishop. You talk about just how it shaped your life on a day-to-day basis since you were a child.
Yeah, it really has. You know, I grew up in a home where, again, and my mother's sickness was a pivotal point. But I saw my grandmother, who's from East Carolina. She's from Wenton, I saw my grandmother in her mid-70s have to turn around when my mother got sick and eventually died, and helped to raise her two of her grandchildren. But I saw this woman, and at one point I was in college when I stopped and thought. I said, "You know something? Grandma had a life that was far tougher than mine." You know, she buried children, including my own mother, in adulthood. She sent sons off to war during the Second World War. They came back, but she had other relatives who didn't. She buried her own husband. She was a sharecropper's daughter. She was a granddaughter of slaves. She grew up in the heat of Jim Crow, and grew up desperately poor. And I don't know if she had a high school education, but she got her three surviving children. They all went through college. One was an economics professor at NC Central. My mother was a mathematician. The other was a police officer for years. She did that. And I stopped and thought, how did that woman, who may or may not have had an high school education, do that? And here I was in college reading all these wonderful philosophers and writers, and they were wonderful. And right, I said, wait a minute, what do you think? How did Grandma do that? And I'm here to tell you, Grandma did it. When I think about it, she loved church. My grandma was a dyed-in-the-wool Rock Red Baptist, and she loved church hour and loved church. And she had her best friend was a woman we used to call Auntie, and Auntie Claire. And she, and there was another group of little women around them. They were just best buddies for years. I realized they were that community of love. Grandma and they probably journeyed through life together, sharing joys and sorrows, and helping each other navigate it. When you're weak, I may be strong. When I'm weak, you may be strong. And we carry each other. And I saw that in my grandmother. I've seen it. And I was at Standing Rock with the Sioux Nation, trying to protect the water and their sacred burial land. I saw that in the leaders of the Sioux Nation. I've seen that in people like John Lewis, who gave their lives for good. We just buried the funeral rites of Justice Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, there have been and there are people around us who live their lives for others as well as themselves, and they're the people that make a difference. There's enormous power in this way of love. Partially, to be honest, I believe it has power because the source of it is God, and you can't get more powerful than that.
It's the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Reverend Michael Bruce Cherry. You did the course of the sermon. Everybody knows you around the world now for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's homily. I know you because you did just an amazing, amazing homily at the installation of Bishop Skirving. When you were still Bishop of North Carolina and you came out to Greenville, and when Bishop Skirving of East Carolina Diocese was installed. And my wife and I looked at each other like, this man, I'd love to go to your church every Sunday. You're just such a powerful speaker, but everyone knows you from that. But you've been this story, Love is the Way, Holding on to Hope in Troubled Times. This has been something, it's almost like your life's mission. It's amazing how you're able to carry this on. The personal anecdotes that you put in your book, all those things, but really it's all about love, right?
It really is. And, you know, I mean, I'm 67 years old. I'm older than some and younger than others. But, you know, when I was getting ready to do this book, I said, and I said to the publisher, and I said, look, I'm not doing this. I don't need money. I don't need fame. I don't need fortune. I want to do something that leaves a message that really does matter. And I realized that that message has been in our scriptures all along. It's been in our faith, in all of our faith traditions. But I know it as a Christian. And Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. I mean, everything that God has been trying to tell us. And I just believe that this way of love, regardless of religion, regardless of race, regardless of politics, regardless of nationality, no, this is a human thing. This love can help us all. And Lord knows we need it right now in this country that we all love and in this world that we are all a part of.
You're going to be doing a virtual book event coming up next Tuesday out in Nashville with Malapros, which is a really cool bookstore out there. And you're doing it with somebody a lot of folks know.
Yeah, Al Roker is going to, he was kind enough to say, sure. And he's going to join us and kind of MC and be in conversation. And, you know, he's just one of these people. I mean, I've gotten to know a little bit over the last couple of years, who's just a wonderful human being. You know what? There are wonderful human beings all over the world. They're all over. They're nearby. We just need to mobilize this love and put it into play and help to change this world. One person, one community, one country at a time.
Bishop Michael Curry, Love is the Way, Holding on to Hope in Troubling Times. Tess Judge passes along her love, a good friend of ours, and a good friend of yours, too. I'm sure she's listening this morning and enjoying hearing you here on the station.
Wonderful people. Give them all my love, and your wife my love, and Tess and everybody.